It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to On the Front Lines of Caregiving. I am your host, Lynette Whiteman, and I am the caregiver for my 91-year-old mother who lives with me. Have you ever visited an elderly relative or friend and found yourself at a loss for what to talk about? After you exchange pleasantries about the weather, what you had for lunch, and your children or grandchildren, you find yourself wondering what to talk about next. No matter how much you may love the person you are visiting, they don't get out much, and they seem to have so little to share. Well, this is exactly what happened to my guest today, Joan Bachman, when visiting with her elderly father-in-law, Bill. Out of that experience and a desire to more fully engage with her father-in-law, she co-authored a wonderful book titled If Only You Would Ask, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So welcome, Joan. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, you're welcome, Lynette.
So tell me a little bit about your book, If Only You Would Ask. Really, I know that your elderly father-in-law was the impetus to do that, but how did how did it come about? Your co-author is your mother, Eileen.
Sure.
So tell me about, like, what made you think about writing this book?
Well, the book came about, the precursor was that my father-in-law, Bill, in his last years, had decided he wanted to stay in his own home and to die in his own home. And so as a result, this is in Minnesota, and I live about an hour and a half from where Bill lived. And so every week I would make the visit, make the car ride up to see Bill and see how he's doing. And I wanted to go see him because I loved him, but I also knew how lonely it got and how long the time was. And in Minnesota in the winters, people just do not get out very much. And so I would go and visit him. And as you mentioned in the introduction, I would, you know, fill him in on what I had been doing and what my kids were doing. And but always aware that, you know, he hadn't been getting out, and so that he had very little to share. And it just seemed like, you know, that there was just, it was becoming harder and harder to know what to talk about. And so on, after one of those visits, you know, I'd kiss him goodbye and say, you hang in there and I'll see you next week. Well, I was commiserating with my mom, who lives in the Twin Cities, about, you know, how difficult these visits were getting. And so she, before I went to see him the next time, she gave me a notebook, and the notebook was filled with maybe 100 questions. And she said, well, ask Bill some of these questions, and then leave it on the counter, and maybe the grandchildren would enjoy asking him some questions as well. And it might make the time go a little quicker. And so I thought, well, fine, I could try that. And so I took the notebook, but I had missed my window, and missed the frame in which he was able to really have conversations. He really was failing more rapidly. And so bottom line is Bill died and those questions never were asked. And so you fast forward a few months and Mom and I were talking, and we just got to thinking there must be thousands of people just like Bill who are much loved and are visited, or maybe don't have a support system, whatever the situation might be, but are very lonely. And there's a lot of people just like me who are struggling with, well, what exactly do we have to talk about? And the truth is there's so much to talk about if we ask the right questions. And thus the title, If Only You Would Ask.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a long answer.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think I listened to an interview with you and your mom, and your mom had said that everybody
yeah.
has a story if you ask mm-hmm. the right questions. And I think that that is such a, mm-hmm. a lovely mm-hmm. sentiment mm-hmm. and a way to go about it, because mm-hmm. a lot of times, mm-hmm. especially with the elderly, you see them mm-hmm. at the age that they are and perhaps what mm-hmm. they cannot do anymore, and you forget mm-hmm. that this was a mother and a wife and a career woman
yes.
and maybe
yes.
a pioneer in her day, and you know, this was somebody who
right?
was in World War
right.
II and, you know,
exactly.
led a group of people, and you just don't see that anymore. You just see the person
right.
in front of you. I just
exactly.
love this concept. I think there are so many incredible uses for it with
mm-hmm,
intergenerational
mm-hmm.
programs
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
with volunteer programs. And
yeah.
personally,
yeah.
I even know with my mother, mm-hmm. you know, I run out of things to talk to her about. And
I'm sure it's
even the person that you're sitting
right.
across from, and you think you know everything,
right.
but you might not know
right.
it. Yeah. So
exactly.
how long did it take you to write this book? What was that like?
Well, it was a process. It was it took us about 5 years, and clearly,
wow.
you know, that was on and off. It was a real process, and you know, we started with a notebook full of questions, and then and went from there, and you know, Mom would wake up in the middle of the night with another chapter and another,
yeah.
oh, we didn't talk uh-huh. about this, or we need to talk about hunting, or we need uh-huh. to talk about collections. And anyway, so finally we ended up with 42 topics and
wow.
over 400 questions.
Wow.
And it was really our very intentional to make the questions open-ended, to make
mm-hmm.
them very non-threatening, because this should be fun. Bottom line
right.
is, this is fun. And when I get the person with whom I'm speaking engaged, all of a sudden the time just flies, and the person that's talking says, well, I guess I do have something of value to share that she is interested in. And
aww.
We run out of time, and I can't wait to get back there and find out and find out what happened next. And the book, that being said, the book could easily be left with the person you're visiting, because in their quiet times, they might just go through some of these questions and, well, what would they say if they were asked? Because we all know that sometimes we're asked something and it isn't necessarily something we can just think about at that moment, but maybe, you know, an hour later you think, oh, I wish I had said that, or, oh, I could have
right.
said this. So it's a book definitely for the person doing the visiting, but also for the person being visited, in terms
mm-hmm.
of just thinking about and doing some reflecting about their lives.
Wonderful.
One thing that I think makes this book unique, there are, I'm sure, many books out there that are tools for writing an autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
And those are good. But the difference, what makes this unique, is this is really about this time that I have with you right now, where I'm totally engaged in you, and you're the most important thing right now. I'm not writing anything down. My tape recorder is not on. This
right.
is about our time together, and that makes it, I think, very special. It's this moment right now, and we're
right.
really giving that value. And anyway, I think
yeah.
it's been interesting. This is a little aside. A friend who had purchased a book, about a month later I got a nice email, and he said his mother lives out of state, and I think he calls her on Sundays. And so he said, well, I just decided I was going to try to ask her some of these questions. And she's in her late 90s and pretty sharp, but, you know, was getting more difficult to have conversations on the phone. He said, well, I said, Mom, you know, I want to ask you some of these questions. And I think it was the first one he started with was growing up years. And, you know, were there bullies in her school? I can't remember. Something like that. And he said, well, she got going. He says, and the next thing he knew, she was singing her favorite song from elementary days. And then the next thing he said, he said, I had the best conversation with her that I have had in years. And so now every Sunday he calls and he said, I tried it without the book thinking, well, I can do this. But it wasn't as good, he said. So I don't
That's
know.
Great.
But I had never thought about it as a vehicle over the phone. You know what I mean? But I guess
right.
that was another option. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's just such a gift that you're giving to somebody. When you say that, you know, I'm going to spend this time with you right now and focus on you and your story, who doesn't want that, you know? And especially when you are older or isolated or, again, feel like, you know, that you don't have purpose anymore, that's such an incredible gift that you're giving to somebody. I would like somebody to do this for me. I mean, like everybody wants to be heard and listened to and feel valued. Yeah, it's wonderful.
I don't know if this is a good time, but, you know, for people, you know, it's always easier to talk to people that with whom we already have a relationship. But it very well could happen that there are volunteers who want to give of their time but don't really know what to talk about or how to start.
Right.
So the good thing about this book is that, well, first of all, I guess you'd meet the person and you'd show them the book and you'd say, gee, this is something that I really would love to talk with you about if that's okay. And then we could give it a try and you can open it to the beginning, the middle, the end. And every little chapter has a hook question. So, for example, I have a book in front of me here. And this one, topic 13, it's starting your own business. Now, this might be pertinent, it might not, but you never know. Why did you decide to start your own business? And then, now probably you wouldn't ask that of someone unless you knew they had their own business.
Right.
So now I'm gonna back up. Oh, let's see. Here's one on dating. What was the hardest part about dating?
Yeah, that's a great question.
And that's a good one. And, you know, that might take a little thought. And, you know, if they can't think of anything right away, then there's some triggers at the top of the page. For example, blind dates, online,
right,
chaperones,
right.
going Dutch, double dates, bars, hanging out. And then there's follow-up questions. At what age did you start dating? Where did you go on dates? What did you do? Was dating encouraged or discouraged by your parents? How did you meet the people you dated? On a date, who should pay?
Yeah.
How did you feel about blind dates? Anyone. So there's these hook questions, and that might be all you need. But if it's not going as well as you want, then there's a lot of follow-up questions. And chances are that, I mean, you won't get to all the questions in your time. Your time will have disappeared. But
right. Well, yeah,
and,
it's wonderful.
Yeah.
One of the things, really, it's so interesting, and I'm fascinated by this, is because one of the programs I started at my nonprofit is a in-home visiting therapy dog program where therapy dogs go into the homes of people with Alzheimer's disease or lonely older people to make weekly visits.
Yes.
And one of the things that made me start this program is that I would go and visit part of, you know, my nonprofit role, and sometimes I had a hard time engaging them in conversation. But when I asked them, did you have a dog growing up?
Right.
Everything changed, and then pictures
everything
of Fluffy
changed.
Came out, and, you know, if they were a dog.
Yes.
Lover. And so, it, you know, like you sort of see, it's almost like dogs or music that, you know, people tap into or bring back memories. Mm-hmm. I imagine it's the same thing with these questions that, you know, you're finding out really what makes this person come alive and tick and, you know, a deep part of themselves that probably hasn't been discussed in a long time that you're bringing out for them. And again, you know, it's just it's a gift for the person asking it, and it's a gift for the person that gets to explain their life story. So it's just really
that's a wonderful example about the the pets or the what was the other one you said?
About music and, you know.
Music.
It's really,
I mean, we've got, there's a chapter in here, 80, let's see, I'll look at that one. Pets, what does it say here? Because, I mean, obviously, best thing is a real live dog. But
yeah.
If you don't have that, what does it say?
Right.
Oh, the hook is, are you a pet person?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to think about that for a minute. Well, growing up, which pet was your favorite? Were pets allowed in your house?
Right.
What advice would you give to someone buying a pet?
Uh-huh.
How
did
you handle the
See,
death of a pet?
These are great questions. Yeah. These are
great.
I mean,
how
that would get me talking.
Describe a favorite pet-related memory.
Mm-hmm.
What are the advantages to owning a pet? That would get me talking.
Yeah.
Did you ever regret
absolutely.
Owning a pet? Yeah.
That's a good question.
Anyway, over the course of your life, how many pets? You know, so or music.
Perfect.
You know, when you listen to music, what kind of music do you listen to? And then, you know, the whole thing. Do you ever perform, or were you, you know, more of an observer?
Yeah.
Anyway, they're all here.
I get it. Tell me about. So I want to talk about how people can find your book, number one,
mm-hmm.
and number
mm-hmm.
two, you got. I want to talk about the National Caregiving Conference that's coming up November 9th and 10th in Chicago, and you are
mm-hmm.
going to be a presenter, so we're actually going to get to meet.
So
tell me about your presentation at the National Caregiving Conference.
Well, I think at the conference, you know, I'll be there with my co-author, my 92-year-old mom, who was the instigator for many of the questions. She had been very active in an AAUW Memories to Memoirs group, and it was through that group that she thought about some of these questions originally, and so she and I will be there and talk about the process and what we hope to provide for anyone who, you know, is willing to have these conversations. And I think, you know, we'll be and we'll probably hopefully have time to actually do a little modeling and to actually practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, based on what kind of a situation we think we're in.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, it should be just really, it's going to be really sharing. It's really sharing
Good.
And looking at the book and seeing is this something that, you know, people think that would be of value to them. So
Wonderful.
I'm excited,
yeah. And so if people want to learn about that conference,
uh-huh.
the National Caregiving Conference in Chicago, they could go to
mm-hmm.
caregiving.com. That's the website. And then there's all the information about that conference. And also there are going to be some of the sessions available online for people. So definitely
mm-hmm.
people should check that out because it's a great conference.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell
mm-hmm.
everybody how people can find your book. Is it do they go to Amazon.com and put in the title, or what's the best way to get your book?
Right. Well, probably the easiest way to do it is to go, as you just said, to Amazon.com and, you know, Amazon Prime, free shipping. And it's also available from Barnes & Noble and or through the publisher, Wheatmark.com is our publisher. And the title of the book is If Only You Would Ask. And I guess I'm just trying to think the easiest way. You know, if you can't remember the title, my name is Joan Berger Bachman. It probably would come up if you typed that in. But if only you would ask. And what else? And in the event, I don't know if Lynette, this is a time to, you know, the book it retails for $19.95. But if a group of people or an institution decided that this was something that would be something that they would like to provide for staff who work with the elderly, if I am contacted directly, we can certainly do a lot better than that in terms of a group discount.
Wonderful. Okay. So
I'd
am
be
going
happy to
have,
hear from anybody.
Okay. I'm going to put all this information and all the links to Joan's website on my Facebook page, which is Lynette Kittner Whiteman. So I'll have the links there, and I'll have it also on Twitter when I put out the episode, so people could check that also. And again, Joan, I think this is a wonderful, wonderful idea. I think it's helpful for relatives. I think it's helpful for volunteers. I think it's helpful for kids that are visiting maybe their grandparents over Christmas break, and they're like, what am I going to talk to grandma about?
I know. There was a woman I talked to last week. She said, I'm getting one of these for each one of my grandchildren, so that when they talk to me, they'll have something. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah,
sometimes,
it's
you know,
true. It's great. It's just such a gift that you've given to people by writing this book. So I appreciate it. So thank you so much again for joining me today. And thank you to Joan for being here and writing that book. If it's all right, I saw a picture of you and your mom. Is it all right if I put that on my face? Okay.
That would be great.
Okay. And if you want to check out an amazing 92-year-old woman, you need to check out this picture because I couldn't believe it. She's amazing. So to see a picture of Joan and her mom and all the links, again, visit my Facebook page, Lynette Kittner Whiteman. And if you enjoyed this podcast today, you could subscribe to it because I have a number of upcoming guests who are also going to be presenters at the conference. So really good topics coming up. So, Joan, I am looking forward to meeting you in November in Chicago. And I am going to be sharing this book with all our volunteers because this is going to be a tool that is going to be just really, really helpful to them. So, listen, you have a wonderful day.
If only you would ask.
If only you would ask, absolutely.
If only you would ask, yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. Thanks,
Lynette.
Joan and everyone, and have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.